Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Talk Spicy. I'm Coach Gene Clemens. Thank you for joining me wherever you are joining me. Rate the show, comment, agree, disagree, but whatever you do, keep it spicy. Five-star ratings are appreciated. And if you're joining me on the YouTube channel, make sure you like, make sure you subscribe. It's Monday morning, which means we are around the proverbial Twitter cooler, having some reactions to the football weekend. It was an interesting weekend, a weekend that I think continues to illuminate a lot of the issues that I have with the way in which not just football, but football players are covered. See, on Saturday early morning on the West Coast or in Colorado, Coach Prime and his boys took on USC, and everybody said, oh, they're about to get mud stomped again. They're about to get blown out again. And it started off as a bad game. It started off, I think it was 21-0 before we blinked. Caleb Williams was willing and dealing. We see the deficiencies of Colorado. We know where they're not good at. They don't have any pass rushing up front. They don't have good enough protection up front on the offensive line. They are deficient in the place that a lot of football teams are deficient, right? But instead of them getting blown out, instead of it being a railroad like it was at Oregon, they fought back. They started to get it popping. You can't say, well, you know, USC put in all the backups, because they didn't. You can't say that it was they were able to get it within one score because USC gave up, because they didn't. They didn't put the backups in. They couldn't afford to. If they had put the backups in, we're talking about one of the greatest comebacks, if not the greatest comeback in NCAA history. If they would have put the backups in, the moment that Colorado started scoring touchdowns, guess what they would have done? They would have put the starters back in. But none of that happened. In the second half, the defense started locking in. The offense got clicking. And they ran down that lead like this. You people really want to tell me that if you give Coach Prime another year or two to recruit linemen, to recruit edge rushers, to get some of those premier people? Hey, here's the thing. He's not just recruiting the way in which your granddad recruited. So right now, he's not only looking at getting five-star and four-star recruits out of high school. He's looking at taking the best player off your team who wants to come and get the exposure that he can get at Colorado while also playing really good football. That's a win-win. Hey, yo, there's a defensive end. There's a defensive end at Colorado who went to Florida State out of high school. He was a Tucker High School alum. I got the chance to meet him. He was there a year before I was coaching at Tucker. He went down to Florida State, spent a few years at Florida State. Nobody knows his name. He goes to Colorado. Every time you look at a well-off video, every time you look at a video, his face is there. He is being exposed to the world. You don't think that's valuable? Every time well-off drops a video, it's doing 300, 400, 500,000 clicks. That's every time a video drops. When Shedeur Sanders drops a video, guess who you might see in there? Him. When Shiloh drops a video, guess who you might see in there? Him. When the VI drops a video, who are you going to see? When Colorado drops a video, who are you going to see? So the amount of eyes, the amount of exposure that somebody who hasn't even been as productive or as legitimate as a football player. What happens when they get a star? What happens when they flip and get the best defensive lineman from Alabama, to come to Colorado? What happens when they get the best offensive tackle from Clemson to come to Colorado? What happens when they take an interior defensive lineman from Florida that's a starter who just doesn't want to be around that futility at Florida and gets him to come to Colorado? He's not playing the same game. Y'all are playing checkers. He's trying to play chess. You don't think he's going to get that thing right? You're not paying attention. You're not paying attention. He's already set up Shedeur Sanders coming back to school. Hey, Caleb Williams, that's a bad boy. Shedeur don't want to play second to nobody. He want to be QB1. Saying that he might let Caleb Williams get out the way so that he can have the entire college football landscape to himself. That is a scary proposition. He's got everybody holding up their watch right now. They call it the Shedeur. If you don't think that the impact that's going on is going to draw in other extremely talented college players, you are tripping. You think he's done in the portal? He's not looking for the malcontent in the portal. He's looking for the person who has balled out at their college and decides, yo, I just want a better situation to be in. I want more publicity. I want a chance to win a championship. When Colorado rolls into the Big 12 next year, guess who's going to be the favorite to win the Big 12? Colorado. Why? Because they're bringing everybody back and they're going to reload with more dudes. It's scary. If you haven't jumped on the bandwagon, now might be the time to do so. That wasn't a moral victory. There are no moral victories. They lost. At the end of the day, if they played better in the first half, they might have had a chance to win. If they got the ball back at the end, I think at the least they tie it. But you can't play that horribly in the first half and think that you're going to win a game. Simple and plain. There are no moral victories. But we can see what's going on. And what's going on is phenomenal. You know what else I saw? I saw a guy who people told me just could not play basketball. Football. A guy that they said could not play football. I saw him go to work yesterday. And everybody will deny what they said or how they said it, or they'll just ignore it. But Justin Fields played one hell of a game yesterday. Justin Fields played one heck of a game yesterday, but his team lost. Why? Let everybody else tell it, it's Justin Fields' fault. That's interesting, because Justin Fields didn't give up 31 points. He didn't throw a pick six. He didn't have a fumble that was returned for a touchdown. Or maybe he did. I don't know. Let me double check that. Right? But he wasn't the cause. He didn't give up 31 points. I know. I have had people under my tutelage who've just given points to the opposing defense. Right? But he's not one of them. But it's interesting how we have to stand on our narratives, right? Because so many people told us that Zach Wilson was going to be good. And Zach Wilson has been utter trash in the NFL. He has been unadulterated, flaming basura in the NFL. And yet, people keep wanting to see him succeed. People keep wanting to see him do great things, right? So much that when he has a decent game, people lose their mind. Yet, a lot of people thought Justin Fields was trash. And so because they thought Justin Fields was trash and they said that Justin Fields was trash, every time he has a good game, they explain it away. So I just did a little quick research on Twitter this morning. I typed in Justin Fields and I went to all of the stuff that we see, like the most recent stuff that we see posted on Twitter about it, about him, right? Justin Fields bad. So first thing I see is a tweet about the quarterbacks of that of that 2021 class, right? Here's what it says: Matt Jones bench, Justin Fields bad, Trey Lance traded, Wilson hasn't been good, but people need to stop killing JD over it. Once Gaze won unnecessary games, it was a crapshoot. Let's see if Jets can take progress to Denver, right? I see an NFL rookie watch. Joe Burrow since being made the highest paid NFL player, lower passer rating, Zach Wilson and Des Ritter, less passing yards than Joshua Dobbs and Justin Fields. That's meant to be a dig at Justin Fields. They talk about Justin Fields being responsible for the loss. Zach Wilson. Oh, sorry. Happy sell day for Justin Fields. People saying you should sell Justin Fields in fantasy right now. Right? That's what you see. Nothing about his play yesterday. Nothing about him playing well. Now, we go over to Zach Wilson. And you see why I'm struggling, because I struggled to find things to say that were positive about Justin Fields. Look at Get Up about Zach Wilson. He's good. He's grown. Keep building around him. Right? Zach Wilson is magically the guy now. Call me crazy, but I believe in Zach Wilson. Aaron Rodgers' presence has helped Zach Wilson. Zach Wilson had the best game of his career. That was a shut-up game from Zach Wilson. Zach Wilson is actually good. He just needs a chance. Right? Rodney Harrison is a scumbag for his comments about Zach Wilson. I can't believe I'm saying this, but I'm rooting for Zach Wilson. Zach Wilson looked like Aaron Rodgers last night. So I, having watched both games, went back and said, well, what did I miss? Like that has people thinking that Zach Wilson was so good, right? So I went back and looked at his stats, and we know the stats don't mean everything. But when you say someone had a really good game, the stats should support that, correct? And not the DVOA or the HBAC or the made-up stats that people put together to try to justify their arguments. Like the raw stats should point in some manner to why you were so good. So I went back to the stats. Justin Wilson, or not Justin Wilson, Zach Wilson, was 28 for 39. 245 yards and 2 touchdowns. That was his day. Sacked a couple times. Had 1 turnover, right? Had a fumble that he lost. That does not sound like an Aaron Rodgers type of day. 39 passes. Only 245 yards to show for those 39 attempts. When you throw almost 40 times, I expect to see more yardage. But who? Cool. It's a new day. It's a new world. Short passing, blah, 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 blah. Can't say he doesn't have weapons. He's got weapons all over the place. He's got running backs. He's got tight ends. He's got wide receivers all over the place. Right? 2 touchdowns. That's not setting the world on fire. It's just 2 touchdowns. I said, wow, they're talking like he had a better game than Justin Fields. Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to tell you what Justin Fields did yesterday. Justin Fields went 28 for 35 for 335 yards, 4 touchdowns, and a pick. Somebody, somewhere, tell me how Zach Wilson is getting so much praise today and people acting like Justin Fields shouldn't be in the league. Zach Wilson completed 71% of his passes yesterday. Justin Fields completed 80%. The completion percentage was better. And before you start telling me how good Kansas City's defense is, just remember, that's the same defense that the Jets were throwing all over. Right? Before you tell me how bad Denver's defense is, remember, that's the same Denver defense that y'all all like sung the praises of Miami about. So if you're going to give Miami and Tua credit for carving up Denver, then you should give Justin Fields credit for carving up Denver. Justin Fields had 4 touchdown passes and 335 yards. You know how many rushing, attempts he had? 4. You know how many rushing yards he had? 25. They called one design run. It went for negative yards, and they did not call another design run. You know why? Because Justin Fields is a quarterback. And you should let a quarterback operate like a quarterback, not like a running back behind the center. Yet all I heard, all I've seen while scrolling through the Twitter at the cooler on Monday is how good Zach Wilson was. The get up talking about how fantastic Zach Wilson was. Good morning, football people, singing the praises of Zach Wilson. Zach Wilson was this, Zach Wilson was that. So I said, man, maybe I'm still missing something, because I watched this game and Zach Wilson played decently, but Zach Wilson did not play well enough to win a football game. He didn't play well enough to win a football game with a defense that held the world champions and the undisputed or one of the best offenses in the league, right? Held them to minimum of what they can do when they're clicking. So then I went back and I looked at the play-by-play because I watched the game, so I know what the play-by-play could show me, right? I want to articulate some things for you, and this is not a diss to Zach Wilson, but this is to show you where bias comes in at. Here's how the first half for Zach Wilson's team went. 3 plays, punt. 4 plays, punt. 6 plays, punt. 7 plays, field goal. Right? 7 plays, touchdown. That's after an interception. So they got a field goal after a Kansas City safety on a holding call in the end zone that should not have been a holding call. Right? I'm sorry, not a holding call. A face mask call in the end zone that should have been a face mask call, but should not have been a face mask call in the end zone because the face mask happened before they went into the end zone. That ended up being a safety. They turned that next drive into a field goal. Then, one play later, Patrick Mahomes throws a pick. They turn that into a touchdown. Field goal, right? Field goal to end the after the touchdown. And then the end of the half. So, 6 legitimate possessions, 1 touchdown, and 2 field goals. Right? 6 legitimate possessions, 1 touchdown, 2 field goals. That's not phenomenal play. That's not something that's really, really good, right? So within there, in that first half, I'm trying to understand how that was such a phenomenal game. So I said, oh, well, maybe he just had a really good second half. Maybe that second half was phenomenal. And that's why everybody is singing his praises, right? They come out of the break. It's a 7-play, 75-yard touchdown, right? 7 plays, 75 yards for a touchdown. Now, within there, there are a couple like really good deep plays, right? A good 25-yard shot to Conklin. He seemed to really be having some chemistry with the tight ends. 23-yard shot to Rutgers. That's going to chew up some time, right? Some yardage. So now they're on the way. They're ready to do their thing. This is what the rest of the game looked like for the Jets. Punt, 3-play punt, 4-play punt, fumble. Ball game. When Justin Fields threw an interception at the end of the game, people just blamed him for the loss. But the defense still had a chance to keep them from scoring. When Zach Wilson fumbled the ball, Kansas City had a lead. So he fumbled away his last opportunity to be successful, right? So what are we talking about here? Like, why is Zach Wilson getting all of this praise and Justin Fields still being treated like it was an anomaly? Like, we haven't seen him have good games before. We haven't really seen a lot of good things out of Zach Wilson over his 2 years and some change of football. But we've seen some good things out of Justin Fields. We can all agree, right, that Zach Wilson has better weapons than Justin Fields. Justin Fields has more, but we're not 100% sure that Moore's a wide receiver one. But we do know that Zach Wilson has a bona fide wide receiver number one. And legitimate 2, 3, 4, 5. We know that he has what people believe to be an elite level running back. And he has a backup running back who's really good. Both of them have offensive line questions. But people believe in that offense, in that staff with the Jets more than they believe in the staff with the Bears. And yet, Zach Wilson's getting all this love. Justin Fields, crickets. While the game was going on, I was on Twitter. No love for Justin Fields. Right? While the game was going on for Zach Wilson, oh my God, they were tweeting. This is the Zach Wilson that the Jets thought they were getting. This is progress. This is hope for the future. And then when I break down what he did in the game, he had a couple good drives. That's it. Had a couple good drives. Justin Fields had 4 touchdowns and probably would have had more. The offensive staff got conservative in the second half. They would have won the game if they hadn't just kept trying to go for it on 4th down, especially critically at the end of the game. But no excuses, no moral victories, but people play well. So why not say both guys played well? Why? Because there's narratives we've got to draw. And Justin Fields is supposed to be a bust. So if he's supposed to be a bust, then we can't say he played good. Because if we say he played good, then that doesn't fit the narrative. Meanwhile, we all thought Zach Wilson was going to be the man. So if we say he's a bust, now we have to admit that we were wrong, and nobody wants to do that. You want to know what else I'm thinking is interesting? this whole Ohio State quarterbacks don't do well in the league, right? Because CJ Stroud is balling. Justin Fields had a great game. You got to give Joe Burrow halfway to Ohio State, right? Because he spent 3 years there before he transferred and spent two at LSU, right? So you got to give half Burrow to him, but Burrow's not balling. So I guess, you know, that's another I just think it's funny, these narratives that we talk about, right? And then I think about the Kansas City offense last night. And while I was watching the Kansas City offense, something occurred to me. They just don't look as good as they looked last year. The personnel might be better than last year. The personnel knows more about the offense than they did last year. And somehow they just don't seem to be clicking the way that they were last year. Meanwhile, I'm watching Washington, and Washington looks like that offense looks competent. It looks explosive. It looks like it can drive the ball. It looks built for all weather. And I go, what's the difference? There's one difference. Eric MFing Bieniemy. Because all of you told us how he doesn't do this and he's just the figurehead OC. Well, is he the figurehead OC in Washington? Because you can't blame Washington losing on the offense not being good, right? You said he had to go to a bad team, right? A dysfunctional organization and an offense with a dude that would not be a quarter starting quarterback for me, and get it popping there, and then he's going to prove that he should be a head coach. Well, guess what? After his head coach tried to make him look like he didn't know what he was doing, and after all the media tried to like dump on him and make it seem like Washington was going to be a debacle, they look pretty darn good on offense, don't they? Oh, don't worry. I'm not in the slight bit like under the assumption that people are going to come back and apologize. They're just going to wait for the really bad game that Washington has to double down on their assertion. Because that's what you do. You just wait for the really bad game and go, see? Don't pay attention to any of those other good games versus really good defenses. Just pay attention to that one bad game. Right? It's like Bucks fans with who are on the Baker Mayfield bandwagon. Don't pay attention to the game where he was awful versus an actual legitimate playoff defense. Only pay attention to these three games versus these teams that are utter train wrecks defensively. Pay attention to that. Don't pay attention to what he did when he actually had to face a real legitimate defense. Only pay attention to the average stats that he's putting up against the bums, the dysfunctionals, the trying to figure it out. Like judge him on those. Okay, it's narrative spinning, and on Monday around the cooler, that's what we do. We spin narratives. It was an enjoyable week. I'm looking forward to this Giants game tonight. I'm looking forward to getting to see more of the young Giants play. I want to see what they do with a third game to play, especially on the offensive line. I'm much more optimistic about the answers for the Giants on the offensive line already being on the roster. I think continuity is key. So I'm looking forward to seeing it. I'm looking forward to seeing if Daniel Jones can be worth $40+ million. Because right now he has not. I'm looking forward to seeing if not having Saquon Barkley is going to continue to affect them the way that I thought not having Saquon Barkley would affect them. I want to see all those things. I want to see if the defense can start to make more of an impact in the game. I'm looking forward to it. And you should be looking forward to it as well. Hey, shout out to all of you who supported last Saturday when I was on the broadcast for North Carolina A&T and Norfolk State. It was a fantastic game. Appreciate all the love. Appreciate the people who took screenshots of their screen when they saw me up there for that little time that we get, you know, on screen. It is a labor of love. It was a long weekend, but we're back to Monday, and football is daily now. We got Mondays, we got Tuesdays, we got Wednesdays, Thursdays, Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays. Nothing but football. You're welcome. Ladies and gentlemen, that's Talk Spicy. Do this thing a few times a week. Rate the show, comment, agree, disagree. Whatever you do, keep it spicy. 5-star ratings are appreciated. If you're joining me on the YouTube channel, make sure you like, make sure you subscribe. Till next time. Peace.